If you would turn to Luke chapter 15 and verse number 10. This is going to be the place where we start, and hopefully this will be helpful to you. God gave a command, Jesus actually, Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, and in the book of Acts, five times the command was given to the new church to share the gospel with people, to go out and tell people how to be saved. This is a challenging command. I'm going to give you a statistic a little bit later on, but just in case I don't get to that in this message, only one person is reached for Christ in America for every 85 church members. I don't remember where I pulled that statistic from, and it's actually been a few years since I found that one. One person saved for every 85 church members in our country. That seems really backwards. Why should it take 85 people to reach one person with the gospel? Every one of us should be a soul winner. When I say soul winner, what I mean is someone who is ready to share the gospel with another person. If you're saved, you know how to be saved. You may not have all the details on how to share the plan of salvation, and you may not be real smooth at it, but you know what you need to know to tell somebody else how to be saved. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you know what you need to know. Now, you may not be the best speaker. You may not be real comfortable with talking to somebody else, but the facts are there. And here it is, just very basically. You know that you're a sinner. You know that the punishment for sin is to die and go to a place called hell. You know that God loved you so much, He sent His Son Jesus Christ, and He died on the cross to pay the price for your sins. And you know that all you have to do is accept God's free gift of eternal life in order to be saved. That is the plan of salvation. God's simple plan of salvation is so simple that a child can understand it. It's so simple that a young person can understand it. And it's so simple that no matter how old you are, you can understand enough to be able to be saved. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That means anybody. That means if you understand this and you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and you simply trust Him enough to ask Him to save you, you will be saved. The plan of salvation is simple. Now, the Bible is, there's a lot to it. And there's a whole lot of stories in it. There's a whole lot there. There's a whole lot of doctrine in there. But over and over and over through the Bible, we have the teachings on how to be saved. Different verses in different places. But when you put it all together, you realize God's plan of salvation is simple. Jesus Christ paid the price for salvation. It's not cheap, and it's not easy. Because Jesus already paid the price, and the price was his life. He suffered, He bled, and died on the cross. It was not easy because of what He had to do. But what we get to share is a story, a true story, of the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the truth of Scripture that teach somebody how to be saved. And in order to be saved, someone simply needs to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. That is stated over and over and over in Scriptures. Now, tonight, the message isn't so much to tell you how to be saved, but to tell you that you need to be telling other people how to be saved. Every one of us ought to be telling others how to be saved. And that is what a soul winner does. There's different words for it. There's different names for it. You can call it witnessing. You can call it soul winning. You can call it evangelism. There's all kinds of different phrases and words used to describe this. We're talking about telling somebody else how they can be saved. And I want to give you 10 reasons. We won't get to all 10 of them tonight, but I want to give you 10 reasons for being a soul winner. Luke chapter 15, verse 10. The Bible says this. Let me find this here. This is Jesus speaking. And He says, likewise. You know what? Let's go back to verse 8. I want you to get the whole story in here. It's a parable. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house, and seek diligently till she find it? We'll stop and think about that for a minute. If you've got 10 pieces of silver, that's all you've got. You lose one of your pieces of silver in the house. Which one of us isn't going to look around until we find that piece of silver? She's going to light a candle. She's going to sweep the house, seek diligently till she finds it. And verse 9, and when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I found the peace which I had lost. Verse 10 now, likewise, I say unto you, Jesus is speaking, likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. When one person turns to Jesus Christ, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God. I'm going to give you the first reason right here at the very beginning, then I'm going to give you a quick little story to help you understand the issue and the problem that we're dealing with. And the reason number one for being a soul winner is very simple. God likes it. There is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. How can I bring joy in heaven? How can I have a part of there being joy in heaven? Well, I can tell somebody how to be saved. And when that person turns to Jesus Christ as their Savior, there is joy in the presence of God, even if it's just one, over one sinner that repenteth. 2012, it was January 13th, in fact, of 2012. There was a huge cruise ship named the Costa Concordia. It was in the Mediterranean Sea, had 4,200 passengers on it, passengers and crew. They were sailing off the coast of Italy on a tour of the Mediterranean Sea. The captain deviated from his planned course, and the ship struck a reef near the shore. After taking on water for a while, the ship began to sink. Some of you probably remember seeing pictures of this. It was only 5 years ago. Abandoning his duty to the passengers and the crew, Captain Francesco Schettino left the ship instead of remaining to make sure everyone could be rescued. You've always heard that a captain is supposed to go down with his ship. I don't know if he's supposed to go down with the ship, but he's supposed to stay on board until everybody is rescued. They called in the Coast Guard. The local Coast Guard commander repeatedly pressed the captain for an update on the situation. Tell me if there are women, children, and people in need there, he asked the captain. He didn't get a satisfactory reply, and he ordered the captain to return to the ship. He asked the captain, how many people are left? Is there anybody left on the ship that needs help? The captain couldn't give him a good answer because he wasn't on the ship. The captain responded to the Coast Guard. He said, you realize it's dark and we can't see anything. The Coast Guard official shouted back, you've been telling me that for an hour. Now get back on board. The captain was later arrested for his failure to do his duty, resulting in the deaths of more than 30 people on that ship. He abandoned the ship. 4,200 people on the ship, and the captain left when there were still people on board the ship who could have been saved, but he didn't do what he needed to do to help to save them. Now, every day, we're surrounded by people who will spend eternity either in heaven or in hell, and the fact that so many people are lost should disturb us. We see the story of that captain and we say, well, of course the captain should have been on that ship. Of course the captain shouldn't have abandoned his duty and left people to die on the ship. But I'm afraid that so many of us as Christians are abandoning our duty and we're not telling people about our Savior and people are dying and going to hell. And that ought to disturb us. Luke 15:10, we see that there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. So many religions do crazy things for their gods because they think it makes them happy. They'll go without during Lenten season. They'll give gifts. They'll perform great feats in order to earn favor with their God or in their religion or with their church. But listen, one simple way to make God happy is to win a soul to Him. It's not going to make God love you anymore. You can't make God love you anymore. There is no possible way God could love you anymore. In fact, the Bible says that He loved you so much, He sent His Son to die for you. We're not talking about Him loving you anymore. We're not talking about gaining His favor, but we are talking about making Him happy. There's joy in the presence of the angels of God. What a thought that is. Let me give you the second reason. We've got 10 reasons for being a soul winner. Look at Genesis chapter 2, if you would. Genesis chapter 2. Whenever God created man, man was different than the rest of the creatures that were created. God created elephants and God created, hey, let's just, this could be fun. Let's just go through and list No, we won't do that. I know you get scared whenever I start doing that, and you say, he left the pulpit, and now he's going off script. But think about it. God made everything. From the littlest creatures in the sea to the great big elephants to the largest creature that we know of, the blue whale, the largest creature on the earth that we know of. I believe it's the African elephant that's the largest land creature on the earth right now. God made all of that. But all of those creatures that God made, they were different than Adam. When God made Adam, he did something special in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Look at this. The Bible says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." See, when God created man to be a living soul, that is something unique that nothing in the animal kingdom has. And this soul that God created and man became a living soul, this soul will never, ever die. Once a soul begins, and once God creates this soul, there is no end to that soul. There are other religions that will tell you, and they will teach the cessation of existence, the cessation of life. And they will tell you that whenever you die, you're just done. And that there's no hell if you didn't live a life pleasing to God. You're just done. You're gone. That's not true. The Bible teaches that every person, every human being has an eternal soul. Every person has an eternal soul. Jesus said this in John chapter 5, verse 29. He's talking about the master coming back, talking about Jesus coming back, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. There is a resurrection for every single human soul. Every human soul will be resurrected. Some will be resurrected to the Bible calls the resurrection of life. Some will be resurrected to the resurrection of damnation. The fact is, though, that every person that ever lives on this earth will have an eternity somewhere. And that eternity will be either eternal life or eternal damnation. Every person has an eternal soul. Whether it's somebody that you know, somebody that's in your family, somebody that's your neighbor, or somebody that's around the world. In the 1840s, a man named John Getty, he was a pastor of a church. He left that pastorate. He was in a church in Canada. And he took his wife and his two small children to the South Sea Islands to begin a mission work there. This is in the 1840s. This is when these islands were inhabited by headhunters and cannibals. They traveled for more than 20,000 miles. They arrived in the New Hebrides Islands. The island chain was filled with cannibals, and just a few months before, more than 20 crew members of a British ship had been killed and eaten just before the Getty's family arrived on the mission field. They got to the mission field, they faced the difficulty of learning a language that had no written form, and the constant threat of being killed. Slowly at first, a few converts came, and then soon many more received the gospel. Brother Getty continued his ministry faithfully, including translating the entire Bible into the native language and planting 25 churches. For many of those years, Brother Getty labored with little help and little word from home. But God was faithful to this servant. In the pulpit of the church where Brother Getty pastored for so many years, there's a plaque, and this is what it says. When he landed in 1848, there were no Christians here. And when he left in 1872, there were no heathen. What an amazing testimony that is. A man who would take his family and go all the way around the world so that they could share the gospel with people they didn't even know. And why would they do that? Because every person has a living soul. Whether they are around the world and we don't know them, or there's somebody that we will cross paths with tomorrow, they have a living soul. That soul will live forever, and that will be either eternal life in heaven or eternal damnation, as we talked about this morning, in the place the Bible calls hell or the lake of fire. Listen, there's some reasons to be a soul winner. Number one, God likes it. Number two, every person has an eternal soul. Somebody said, I don't remember exactly who it was that said this. They said, I was sharing the gospel with an atheist, and the atheist said, well, if you really serve a God, and there really is a God, why doesn't he just come down and show himself to us? The man, as he was sharing the gospel, he said, well, he did. And we killed him. We crucified him. Now, God is not going to come and share the gospel with people. He's given that job for us to do. He's given us his word, and he's given us the gospel, and he's given us the great commission that says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. This is our responsibility. We need to take it seriously. Every person has an eternal soul. Let me give you one more tonight. Go to Psalm chapter 126. Psalm chapter 126. God likes soul winning. Every person has an eternal soul. And look at Psalm 126. I'm trying to find it. I'm almost there. Verse number 6. The Bible says, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Why be a soul winner? Reason number 3, it's personally rewarding. It's personally rewarding. Think about this for just a minute. If you have the opportunity to tell somebody how to be saved, and you tell them, and they understand the gospel, and they trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, think about what just happened there. You just started a conversation with somebody who, if they were to die, they would go to hell because they weren't saved. And God used you to show them how to be saved. And God used you to teach them, and you taught them that they were a sinner. You taught them that there's a punishment for sin. You taught them that Jesus loved them so much he died on the cross to pay for their sin. You taught them that all they have to do is trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Believe it and receive it. You taught them that, and they bow their head and they pray and they trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Do you realize what you just did? Now, you didn't save them, but God used you. God used you in a huge way. A person who would have died and gone to hell now is not going to do that. The Bible says, and we talked about just a moment ago, they will be part of that resurrection to life eternal. And God used you to do it. Wow. Soul winning is personally rewarding. There was a missionary to Africa, and he told this story. There was an elderly woman that got saved. She's probably about 40, 42, something like that. No, there's an elderly woman that got saved. Are we awake still? We're almost done here tonight, okay? She's old, okay? Older than anybody here, I'm sure. She was blind, and she couldn't read or write. But she wanted to share her newfound faith with others. So she went to the missionary, and she asked for a copy of the Bible in French. This was the language that they spoke. When she got it, she asked the missionary to underline John 3:16 in red. Now, she can't see. She's blind, and she can't read. So the missionary gave her a Bible in French, underlined John 3:16, and he marked the page that it was on so she could find it. He wanted to see what she was going to do with that, so he followed her one day. In the afternoon, just before school let out, she made her way to the front door of the school there in Africa. As the boys came out when school was dismissed, she would stop one and ask him if he knew how to read French. When he said yes, she would ask him to read the verse that was marked in red. Then she would ask him, do you know what this means? And she would use that opportunity to tell him about Christ. Now, this is a convicting story, because I'm not blind. And there are people that I should have told about Christ that I haven't. She would stop them. Do you know French? What does this say? And she would explain the gospel. The missionary said that out of those schoolboys that she reached with the gospel, 24 of them became pastors of churches. I don't know that that lady ever knew it while she was alive. She may have. But can you imagine this? Being able to think, wow, God, you used me. You used me to reach somebody with the gospel. And because you used me, there's 24 young men who are now pastors of churches. Being a soul winner is personally rewarding. And I've got to give you one more. I know I just said one more just a minute ago, but this is huge. I'll read these two verses to you. John 14, verses 2 and 3, Jesus says this, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. The fourth reason for being a soul winner, really good reason for being a soul winner, is that heaven and hell are real. Heaven and hell are real. These are real places. It's not just an allegory where there's a made-up story. And these are real places where real people really go to when they die. Jesus said, if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. But also in Luke 16, it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. The Bible says, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Heaven and hell are real. But let me tell you something. I think you might agree with me. The average Christian in America doesn't live as if they believed heaven and hell are real. Think about this for a minute. If there really was a place called heaven, and we really had a gospel that would keep people out of hell and let people go to heaven, would we live the way we live? Would we do something different? If there really was a place called hell, and real people really died and really went to a place called hell, would we do anything different? Would we tell anybody about Jesus? Would we share the gospel? Would we at least give up some of our time during the week to tell somebody else how to be saved? If we really believed in hell. If we really believed in heaven. I gave you this statistic. Only one person is reached for Christ for every 85 church members in America. Let's don't let that describe us. Let's don't let that describe our church. It ought to be that every church, every member of our church is not only reaching one, but reaching many people with the gospel. You can do it. People need to be reached. We have this great city with so many people that need to be reached in our city. Some people we know, some people we don't know. But God gave us the job. God gave us the commission. And we need, it's simple, we need to be soul winners. That's just the bottom line. We need to be soul winners. We can't just let somebody else be the soul winner. Brother Reed's got a brother who's a great soul winner. We call him Brother Reed. All right, Brother Freddie. He comes and he'll be preaching for us this summer for our vacation Bible school. And he's such a great soul winner. I love to watch him go out soul winning, and he shares the gospel with people, and he's unashamed, and he'll go soul winning. But we can't just let a person like that be the soul winner, and the rest of us say, I'm so glad that I'm on his team. We've got to all share the gospel. We've got to all learn to share the gospel. We've all got to decide, I'm going to make it a point, I'm going to make it a priority to tell somebody how to be saved. Father, I pray that you would bless this message tonight. And Lord, I pray that you would give us a desire to share the gospel. And Lord, I pray that even if we don't understand all of it and we don't understand why you've given us this job, but we would just do it because it's the right thing to do. And Lord, maybe sometimes when people don't listen and sometimes we don't feel confident in what to say, we'll just do it anyway because it's the right thing to do to share the gospel with others.